Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Jim West with Carolina Varsity Radio. And tonight we got Daniel Burleson. His name is Daniel Burleson. It's not Dan. It's not Danny. It's Daniel. And if you're nasty, you can call him Mr. Burleson. Daniel, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be on the show tonight and be ready to talk about some 1A football. And excited. There's all kinds of scrimmages going on tonight. It's an exciting time if you're a high school football fan, that's for sure.
You got that right. And for those who don't know it, I'm sure most of you know Daniel by now. Daniel is a guy who grew up in Mitchell County. You say, well, where's Mitchell County? I say, it's Spruce Pines, that's Bakersfield. And you're like, where's Spruce Pine, where's Bakersfield? And I just have to get out the map. It's out there in the – it's in the mountain area. It's a beautiful area. And Daniel now lives out in Plymouth, which is about as far away in the state as you can come from Mitchell. Well, not quite as far. You can go farther on both ways, but it's a pretty long haul. And it's also probably – when it comes to football and a lot of other things, is a lot different. So welcome along, Daniel, for coming in. And I want to go ahead and jump into the high school conferences this coming year. I want to go ahead and start with the 1A, 2A conferences. And I'm going to go close to where your area is, not quite, the old Mountain Valley Conference. You got Wilkes Central and North Wilkes and West Wilkes and Ashe Counties are 2A schools. And East Wilkes and Allegheny, Starmount, and Elkin as your 1A schools. Now, Daniel, we're going to play a game of insane or sane or insane. You're going to tell me if I'm sane or if I'm insane. Of those 1A schools, East Wilkes, Allegheny, Starmount, and Elkin, I think East Wilkes is really the only team that's going to do much in the playoffs come playoff time. Would you agree with that? Am I sane or insane?
I think you're insane. I mean, I have East Wilkes as one of the top 15 teams in all of 1A. They're solid all around and everything. Those other three teams, you know, they have the history, you know, you talk about Elkin and Starmount, you know, they got that history and lore, but they don't have the talent this year. East Wilkes, so they are a pretty solid team, and I would definitely like them.
I totally agree with you know, for those who don't know, Daniel and I, we watched Starmount in the state championship game against Wallace Rose Hill. This is the 1AA. We saw them in 2014. Last year, only 2 years later, they go 2-10. And you know, these teams, Allegheny and Starmount and Elkin, they're you know, they got some numbers issues. I mean, it's hard to get a lot of numbers there. You know, Elkin, how many 1A state championships have they won? How many they've gone to? It's been quite a few, and it's kind of sad when you see a team like the perennial power all of a sudden kind of dissipate. In that conference, though, between all the 1As and 2As, I'm going with Wilkes Central over East Wilkes and maybe North Wilkes at third. What's your thoughts about that, Daniel?
You know, it's definitely going to be a battle with Wilkes County, that's for sure. Wilkes Central, you know, they're a dangerous 2A team. I would probably give the slight edge to them as well. You know, it's surely just on a numbers base and probably with a little bit more talent. But, you know, East Wilkes, far and away, by far the best 1A team in this split 1A, 2A conference.
I agree with you. Okay, we're going to go to the 1A, 2A Western Highlands Conference. Daniel, I think it would be safer to say that you know a little bit about these teams. Am I sane or insane by making that statement?
Yeah, you're pretty sane. I grew up watching a lot of these teams and played for Mitchell all while I was there. And, yeah, I could – this is a – very tradition-rich, you know, conference. Some of these teams have been playing each other ever since they've been in their inceptions, you know, and it's going to be it's going to be another tough year, you know. kind of up and down, maybe a couple of movers and shakers. Polk going down to the 1A part in that conference will definitely be exciting, but, you know, Mitchell and Mount Heritage are setting up for a collision course in that conference, and it's going to be quite an epic game whenever that does happen later on this year.
You know what, Daniel, I totally agree. I think what Joey Robinson has done over at Mountain Heritage and Coach Pittman over at Mitchell, two great, great coaches. And I tell you, the one team that I miss in this conference, they're probably in a better fit now, is Hendersonville. That was kind of like a three-headed monster when Hendersonville was in that conference. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of speed, a lot of talent there in Hendersonville and stuff. And they're a dangerous 1A team, you know. I mean, dangerous 2A team, excuse me. They're right outside the top 10 in a lot of 2A polls that I've seen and stuff. And they've got some excitement there, and they're going to be into the new conference there. An exciting conference, I think, and it's definitely going to be it's going to be interesting to see who's going to take over the reins now that Hendersonville's out of the picture. But I think Mitchell is ranked in the top 10 in a lot of 1A polls. I think I saw Max Preps poll; they're as high as fourth in the Max Preps poll. Mount Heritage, they're around maybe 12th, 13th, 14th in a lot of 2A polls I've seen. It's going to be a tight matchup between those two teams. And Bisness wants me to go for Mitchell and stuff, but it's just too close a call right now.
I agree with you. I had Mountain Heritage winning the conference with Mitchell second, but I will say this. Anything can happen on any given Friday night, and to me, this is just kind of the width of a dime between those two schools. I think Polk is not that far. Polk, you know, if Mitchell or Mountain Heritage have an off night, I think Polk could beat them. How about you?
Yeah, Polk has a very solid team, solid coach. They are in some polls. I've noticed. The Wolverines will always be there towards the end. They're always going to be competitive in that conference. They always have been.
I agree. And the bottom three are teams that, every so often they'll do good. Madison, I guess it's been 4 or 5 years ago. They've had a really great season. Avery, I think they're having some numbers issues. They had some coaching changes. They used to be really good on defense. Last year, I think they averaged 43 points a game and only scored 15 points a game. And then you have Owen, who in 2014, they were 12-0 in the, I think, going into the third round and lost. And next thing you know, since 2014, they've had back-to-back 1-9 seasons. So, with Madison,
yeah,
Avery, and Owen, I think they're going to be growing, but there might be some – one of those teams might come up. If you had to pick one of those to emerge, which one would it be?
I really like the culture and the atmosphere up in Newland, up in around Avery County. The fan support they give their team and stuff and the effort they put in, I think every 3 or 4 years, there's always going to be a good Avery team. Madison, traditionally they've might have had maybe five good teams in the past 30 years. They're usually lurking on bottom, but every once in a while get a good team. Owen dominated Western Highland Conference and, much of Western North Carolina play all throughout the late 80s into the 90s. Even into the early 2000s, through the glory years of the Kenny Ford era. And now that Kenny Ford's not there anymore, and they're just been falling on hard times, and it's hard to see the traditional powerhouse like the Owen Warhorses go through such bad losses like they've been going through the last couple years. It's disheartening to say the least. But if I was going to choose any team out of those three, Avery, I really would like them out of the three.
You know what? You make a very solid argument on that. Madison. I always heard that they were probably one of the most physical teams, but maybe they weren't the best when it comes to football. You know, there's there's you know, you can play physical, but unless you play smart football or really sound technique football, sometimes you're not. But I think Avery's a good pick. We're going to go to the 1A, 2A Northern Carolina Conference. Again, this is Jim West with Daniel Burleson. Both of us are with Carolina Varsity, and we're talking about the 1A scene this year. All right, this conference here, Daniel, got seven teams that are 2A, and then they have two teams that are 1A, and it's almost like the 1A teams are afterthoughts. We don't have to go through much of the 2As, although I will say that I think there's about three teams that could win this conference, all of them 2A. I'm going to see if you agree with this. I think Roanoke Rapids, Bunn, and South Granville, any one of those teams could win it. How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I believe Bunn probably more so than the other two. You know, I think they got a lot of talent returning off of the team that, you know, I think it was either last year or the year before they were in a state championship game. So I think they're going to be pretty solid coming out of there.
I agree. I think it was David Howell who was the head coach back in 2015 when I'm trying to remember who they played, Daniel, and I'm drawing a blank right now. I was thinking it was maybe something like it wasn't Shelby.
Yeah.
I think Shelby was small 2A that year.
No, it was the other 2A game, yeah.
Monroe, you thank you so
Andrew.
Much. And now they got David Weathersby. He used to be the head coach at Bartlett Yancey. David Weathersby is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And actually, his mother, I watched a game with his mother and his dad, and two of the finest people you'll ever meet. Just real laid back and very, very good football fans and very knowledgeable. Now, with the 1A teams, we've got Granville Central and Lewisburg. I'm going to say Granville Central is probably better than Lewisburg. The only thing is, I don't think either one of these teams have a lot of veteran leadership. I guess they're going to be young, both of them. I take Granville Central over Lewisburg. How about you, Daniel?
Yeah, I like that pick. I think just one of these teams is going to make it into the playoffs and probably be a first round loss at that. Better of the two would probably be Granville Central.
I agree. And the Granville Central coach from last year is now the head coach at Northern Durham, John Hammett. He's a fine fellow. Met his wife, Virginia, about a year and a half ago. And their kids are really active into the programs. Their daughter, I think, was 9 or 10 years old about a year ago. So she's either 10 or 11. And she's about the biggest football fan you'll ever meet in North Carolina. Let's go to the 1A, 2A Coastal 8 Conference. And Daniel, this has got five teams that are 2A, and you got three teams that are 1A. And, you know, this conference here is a bit tricky. And I'm going to say the top two teams are Southwest Onslow and East Carteret. Then you got, you know, Dixon and Croatan and Trask, Pender, Richlands, and Lejeune. I won't say the Southwest Onslow and East Carteret are the best of those teams. What's your thoughts?
Yes, most definitely. Especially on the 1A side, East Carteret is leaps and bounds better than Pender and Lejeune is. And so those are the only 1A teams in that conference. The rest of that, I mean, it's not a very strong conference, probably one of the weaker conferences in the state and stuff. That's what I think.
I was looking at last year, Lejeune scored 14 points the entire season. And you got some teams like Plymouth that might score 14 points in 90 seconds in a game. And, where they score a touchdown, next thing you know, the opponent fumbles and they walk right into the end zone. I think we saw that a few years ago in South Creek. And it's just, you know, you see things like that, and you're like, it kind of gives you pause there. And so on that, Pender, do you know anything about Pender? Because I've heard some people say that they might be a little bit better than I thought. So I still think they're a little bit young. You got any thoughts about Pender?
Not really. I do know that, you know, East Carteret is loaded again this year. They do have that big coaching change. The coach who was there last year obviously went back to Havelock, where Jim Bob Bryant had left Havelock to go with Freedom. But they still have the talent there.
East Carteret, you know, historically has not been a strong football program, and Caleb King did a great job. Before Caleb King was there, you had Donnie Kiefer. Donnie Kiefer, you know, he took a team that lost like 29 out of 33 games before he was there, and first season, they think they won like 13 games. Had a guy named Mike Sartain. Mike is a great coach. You know, he did as well as he could, and actually I think set the table somewhat for Caleb King. But overall, it's a hard place to win. But seems like that area is kind of maybe reinvented itself.
Yeah, and it's in a good spot too. It's in Beaufort, you know, which is right on the outskirts of Morehead City. There's a good talent pool in the area there. So I mean they can get players.
You got that right. Okay, Daniel, we're going to talk about this 1A-2A conference that is not one of my favorites either. It's the Three Rivers Conference, and this conference has 10 teams. And Daniel, what's your thoughts about having 10 teams in a conference?
It's going to be just beat up on each other, you know? I mean, I don't know how good it's going to go for strength of schedule, because usually most teams would use a non-conference game and stuff like that to help beef up, you know, their team to help prepare them for the playoffs. But, you know, a big, huge 10-team conference, you know, I'm just not a big fan of. It's just too many teams.
I totally agree with you. The last 2 years after the 2014 season, J.M. Robinson dropped from the 4A Mecca to the 3A South Piedmont Conference. And South Piedmont Conference had 10 teams for those 2 years. And it was almost like overload. To me, a perfect conference has 7 or 8 teams. I know some people like having 6, but I always like having 7, where you have 6 conference games and 5 non-conference games, or 8, where you have 7 conference teams and 4 non-conference. But, you know, looking at this conference here, this is all two-way schools that are going to be the major players. South Columbus is what I have 1. East Bladen, I have number 2. Whiteville, which was a 1A school, now is a 3A. Now is a two-way school. I have them down as 3. Then you have, like, Fairmont, St. Paul's, and Red Springs. They're probably batting for 4. And you know, after that, you got West Bladen. But the 1A schools I have is West Columbus, South Robinson, and East Columbus. Daniel, would any of these teams win a playoff game this coming season?
Probably. And what was the teams again?
East Columbus, South Robinson, and West Columbus.
South Columbus, maybe, because the first round playoff game in the past few years and stuff. So that experience is there.
I apologize. South Columbus is a two-way school. It's East Columbus, South Robinson, and West Columbus.
I don't think so. I'm sorry.
It's fine. South Columbus now, that to me is a top 10, top 15 team in the two ways. I think East Bladen is going to be probably a top 25 team. So anyway, this is Jim West and Daniel Burleson with Carolina Varsity. We're talking about the 1A scene here. Let's talk about some mountain teams here, and this is the really good mountain conference, the 1A Smoky Mountain Conference. Daniel, who do you like in the 1A Smoky Mountain?
I think this is Murphy's conference to lose. I mean, the 1A classification is really going to go through Murphy this year. You know, they've got all that talent coming back. You know, they from a state championship team last year. Swain is going to be up there just to challenge them. They've got a lot coming back. Cherokee's right behind them. You know, they're going to be pretty strong. You can't forget about Robbinsville. They've been to a few title games, you know, in the past couple of years. They're always going to have a strong team. You know, the Smoky Mountain Conference, usually year in and year out, from top to bottom, was one of the toughest conferences to play in the state. You know, those teams are always traditionally strong, powerful teams, and this year is no different. And, you know, Murphy is the cream of the crop, and, you know, it's going to be an exciting year for the Smoky Mountain Conference, that's for sure.
I agree with you. What I look at it, Daniel, is really not the fight who's going to win, it's the fight who's going to be in second. You're taking Swain, and beginning of the season, or when I did my way too early, I took Cherokee at number two. I think it could go either way. I mean, I think it's very close between those two schools. I actually think you're probably right about Swain being ahead of Cherokee. You know, Daniel, about 3-4 years ago, Cherokee was lucky to win a game. You got any idea about why all of a sudden Cherokee is doing so well now in football?
They've incorporated a lot of money and time into their weight program, into their athletic programs. They've got a Todd Schnapps conditioning system, from what I've been told. They are serious about competing in football, and they have some really good stuff to do it with, and they are slowly getting better every year and stuff, and they've got athletes down there but never really had the coaching to put it all together, but I believe they finally got a good coach down there who is actually making it work, and they're becoming a contender there in that Smoky Mountain Conference.
You're exactly right, and, you know, Robbinsville, back in 2014 and 2015, they go to the state championship game. They won the 2014, beat Plymouth, and then 2015 comes in, and Plymouth pretty much just sucker punched them in the first quarter, and, you know, kept on and ended up winning, I think it was like 28-20 or something. But last year, Robbinsville, they couldn't snake their way into a really strong playoff position. They ended up 4-7. Were you surprised by that record last year?
They didn't have the defensive prowess that they had carried them to the two state championship games. Their defense is what was getting the job done for them. And last year, their defense wasn't as up to the Black Knight par that it was, and they suffered because of it and stuff. And they're getting a little bit better this year, but it's still not to that level it was a couple years ago. And that was their bread and butter. And they just they need to get back to that powerful smash mouth, you know, going to punch you in the mouth on defensive mentality. And they didn't have that, and that's what they need.
You're so right. They had a swagger that I liked seeing. You know, 2014 they really had it. 2015, I also thought Robbinsville may have reached the state championship out of a process of elimination. Then last year, I guess, a lot of times it takes veterans leadership, it takes numbers, and, you know, it takes a lot of talent. Maybe it just kind of waned a little bit, which happens. Let's go to the 1A Southern Piedmont Conference. Now, Daniel, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be very happy with this conference because we have six teams that are charter schools in this conference. The only quote-unquote traditional high schools would be Bessemer City and Cherryville. Let's say some team like Mountain Island Charter ends up winning the 1A state championship. Who's going to complain, Daniel, and why?
Mostly all public schools that already are complaining because, you know, they don't like the idea that, you know, charter schools can cherry pick players to play on their teams whenever they have to abide by the rules and only play kids that live in a certain jurisdiction. And I know it's a painful thing for a lot of people to know that a team like Mountain Island Charter you know, that has a lot of athletes that's in the Charlotte area and stuff is playing 1A football, and they don't like the way they do things. But the state has said this is good and this is what's going to happen. And so
I think it is good.
Deal with it.
And you know, one of the safeguards of these charter schools that we have is the kids are not automatically accepted. There is a lottery system with each one of these schools. Now, mind you, sometimes there's not a lot of may not be a lot of kids applying to the school, but there are some really good players that I understand that applied to go to Mountain Island Charter and were denied. So it's there is a safeguard there, but I totally agree. Though there's going to be a lot of people that you know just do not like charter schools. They think they have an unfair advantage, and they're going to complain. But for now, we've got them here. Now, looking at this conference, when I was doing my way too early conference picks, I had Thomas Jefferson at 1 and Mountain Island Charter at 2. I'm revising that order. I'm going to go with Mountain Island Charter 1, Thomas Jefferson 2, and Bessemer City 3. How crazy am I on that one, Daniel?
You're semi crazy. I do like the Mountain Island Charter pick, but I do like Bessemer City though. I do like this team. I like what they do. I think that they can give Thomas Jefferson a run for second and make it exciting against Mountain Island Charter. And you know, I like them.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Bessemer City is a good place. Have some friends down there that grew up there. I can't remember if it was Bessemer City or Terrible that my friend Dean Deese, he's the Orange baseball coach, is from. But that's a solid area, you know, down in the Gaston County area. Of the other schools, Pine Lake Prep to me is the fourth best team. But after that, it's kind of it's probably Union Academy, Cherryville Community School of Davis and Highland. I don't see any of those bottom five teams even winning a playoff game. How about you, Daniel?
I like Union. I mean, I think Union's always been, has traditionally here the past few years anyway, has played strong in the first round of the playoffs. I think Pine Lake Prep, you know, was a really strong team last year. Obviously, they've lost a lot. Another team, I don't think they don't have much of a shot. But, yeah, I like Union. You
know? Okay, I like hearing that. Let's go over to the Yakin Valley Conference. Again, this is Jim West, and with me is Daniel Burleson. Both of us are with Carolina Varsity. We're talking about 1A football tonight. Daniel, North Irwin is one of the better teams that dropped from 2A to 1A. In my early predictions, I had West Montgomery 1 and North Irwin 2. I'm going to change that to make it North Irwin 1, West Montgomery 2, and North Stanley 3. Am I sane, insane, somewhat sane, somewhat insane, or just crazy?
This is probably the most one I had the most problem with, too, because I was back and forth with this. You know, West Montgomery, you know, they're traditionally always strong, you know, always got talent, you know, always had a stranglehold of that conference. North Rowan, big, was super strong in 2A, coming down to 1A. I mean, I really like what North Rowan's got going on, and, I think you're staying with that, North Rowan. Over West Montgomery, I know a lot of West Montgomery fans are playing disrespect card this year, saying, well, you know, you had us ranked so low last year and all, and with what we've done and everything. But North Carolina's a special team, and it would be just that kind of team that would come down and knock West Montgomery down a peg. North Stanley, you know, is a team that's been on the rise here lately. You know, they've actually benefited from the demise of Albemarle, who was once a powerful team in this conference, not so much anymore. I think you're staying with all those picks.
I appreciate that. North Stanley at 3, I have to give a shout out to Coach Crisco. For those that don't know, I was a graduate of North Stanley, class of 1989. Scott Crisco, the head football coach, I graduated high school with his younger brother, Kelly. And Scott's grandfather was a guy named Howard Wooten, and Howard Wooten was one of my dad's mentors in the Department of Transportation right away. And good people there. I always pull for them. Of course, I'm biased, of course. Anybody will tell me I'm biased on that. Now, the rest of the conference, I got Northmore 4, South Stanley 5, and Albemarle 6. What's your thoughts about those three schools?
Just like, you know, when you say Albemarle, you know, it's kind of hard just to fathom, you know, how far the Albemarle Bulldogs have fallen in the past 3 or 4 years, you know, from what they once were. It's crazy to think that they're all the way down here in this far bottom of the conference. Northmore could be a dark horse kind of team in that conference. They could surprise some teams. I like how maybe they could, you know, they might could upset a North Stanley, you know, or give, you know, a team like West Montgomery a run, or Northrow Land, could he have them sweating? I like probably Northmore out of those three teams, who I probably like the better of all of them.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned about Albemarle. 2012, Danny Akins left the Bulldogs. He went to Southwestern Randolph, and now Danny's the head football coach at West Montgomery. So he's a bit of a boomerang. He's used to this Yakin Valley Conference. 2013, Seth Smith was the football coach. He left. 2014 was Danny Talbert. 2015 was Phil Smith. And then 2016 was Jimmy Mason, who was the former football coach at North Stanley. Now 2017, there's a new football coach, Richard Davis. So 6 years, six football coaches. How hard would it be for a program to even have any type of continuity with that much change?
I mean, once you get on your feet, you get it swapped out from underneath you, you know, with another coaching regime change, with a new coach with new ideas and all, with a new playbook. I mean, the players, I mean, these are young adults that we're talking about here, and, you know, they have growing minds, and you're invoking a whole bunch of change all the time in them, and it's hard, and they say repetition is key, but it's hard to get that repetition when you constantly keep changing the formula on them and stuff, and you can see it on their records the past 2 or 3 years. It's just, you know, it's dismal, and it's sad, and Albemarle shouldn't be like this.
I totally agree. You know, North Stanley, Albemarle, we've been playing every year since 1967. And after the 84 season, North Stanley had won 9 games. Albemarle had won 8 games, and we tied 1. And 1985, I become a freshman, and we ended up losing our next 8 games. We beat Albemarle in 93, and then the next 21 years, we lose to Albemarle. So for a period of 30 years, we won 1 game and lost 29. So I totally agree with you. I'd like to see Albemarle back up the top. All right, this is Jim West and Daniel Burleson with Carolina Varsity, and we're talking about the 1A football in North Carolina. Daniel, let's go to the 1A Northwest Conference. I like Mount Airy and East Surrey. How about you?
Oh, yeah. You know, those two teams, it's going to be a dogfight between those two. It's going to come down to the last game of the season. It always does. The Cardinal lost a lot of stuff with their offensive production last year. They slipped a little bit in the rankings, but the Granite Bears are in the top 5 in a lot of polls I've seen and stuff, and they are set up for a run at a 1A championship, 1AA championship, I should say, in the West, as long as, you know, the key thing is they have to – everybody's looking to see where Murphy's going to show up. I know we're not talking about them again, but, you know, Murphy's key in the 1A to 1AA talk, because they're right on the border, and we'll get into this later where, you know, teams, you know, is going to dictate where to go. But, yeah, I just think that that team's going to work out.
Yeah, I share echo your thoughts on that. You know, last year, Mount Airy and East Surrey, I can't remember who won the conference game. I'm thinking East Surrey won the conference game that year, and then they met in the playoffs, and Mount Airy, the other team, won by like a landslide. And I could see these two teams playing twice. And, you know, Daniel, sometimes it's hard to beat your rival two times in a season. What do you think about that?
It is, I mean, you know, because you know them so well, you know what their game plans are, you know what they like to do and everything, and beating them in the regular season is tough, but, you know, if you had to get them in the playoffs when everything is on the line, whenever all the chips are on the table, you know, it's hard, you know, it's going to be a great, great atmosphere of a game if that does take down. It does go take place in the playoffs like that.
You're so right, man. You are so right on that. Now, for number three, I think South Stokes is probably the third best team, and they're going to drop down to the 1A. Last year they were 2-9, and they played in a pretty tough 2A conference. You know, the thing, though, is I don't know much about Winston-Salem Prep. I don't know who's coming in. I don't know who's transferring over there. Have you heard anything about Winston-Salem Prep this coming season?
Not really. I mean, they are a charter school, though, so they can get the athletes there. So you always kind of got to be on the lookout for teams like that. But I mean, I really can't tell you anything else other than Winston-Salem.
They're going to. You just never know. Bishop McGinnis, they're a parochial school. I have them fourth. Winston-Salem Prep, which is the magnet school over in Forsyth County, I have them at fifth. And North Stokes, I have them at sixth. You know, last year, I think they had to forfeit some games because of numbers. It wasn't that many years ago. I think it was maybe a year or 2 years ago when North Stokes actually had a pretty decent team. When a team has problems getting enough players to play on varsity, how hard is it to build on that, Daniel?
Well, it's just hard to compete, you know, because when you don't have enough players to come out, you know, you got to play a lot of players both ways, and that creates for some tired legs, you know, and makes it makes you so much slower and weaker than all the other teams who are coming at you with fresher legs, you know, and it's a clear disadvantage, you know, especially if you don't have talent there to begin with, you know. If you got some talent, you know, you could get away with playing some Ironman football in both ways and stuff as long as you got some integral up pieces everywhere. But, I mean, if you're having to put – if you've only got, like, 14, 15 guys on the team, you know, and – you know, that means, like, everybody's playing both ways, you know, and they're not very good. I mean, it's not going to be very pretty football.
You're so right on that. Looking at going to go to the Eastern Park, we're going to go where you live, the 1A Albemarle Athletic Conference. Edenton Holmes, I have one, and Plymouth number two. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. It's hard not to agree with that when you look and see what Edenton Holmes is bringing to the table. Last year, Edenton, they overachieved last year. I will say that they had a good club, but not a championship club. But they made it to the championship game. They were there at the 2A championship game against Reedsville. Actually, hung with Reedsville a little bit, you know, for Reedsville took off on them. They returned a lot of that team except for their quarterback and a few of their defensive guys. They are loaded and primed for a championship run down on the 1A level. And they are going to try to ruin the party that Plymouth has had been going on in this conference for as long as I can remember covering these teams. A lot of these teams are former Coastal 10. People who don't know, the Albemarle Athletic Conference was formerly known as the Coastal 10. They basically took the four teams that were like the smaller gated teams, you know, and and put them into the Atlantic 6 and left, you know, and brought Eatonton down. So, you know, Plymouth has dominated this league. They haven't. And Eatonton's coming down is going to make it interesting for sure. Plymouth could play on, get this, Plymouth could play on the road in the playoffs for the first time since 2005 if Eatonton winds up winning this conference from them.
Wow, that is something to think of. And Plymouth has been to 5 consecutive 1A state championships, and, you know, this might be a year that they're, you know, on paper they look a little bit down, but when you got Corey and you got Bobby Cody on your sidelines, it's hard to get too down on them, though. Now, with the rest of the conference, I think I'm going to go with Gates County 3, Manio at 4, and Camden at 5, and Perquimans at 6. You think I'm pretty safe on that, or?
I like those picks. I like what Matt Biggie has been doing up in Gates. You know, he's slowly and surely built a pad for the past 2 or 3 years. He's always gotten big bodies. Every time I've seen these players, you know, he finds these big, huge country boys to come out and play football. I mean, I guess that's why I like his team so much.
Yeah,
he is a big guy, though. Have you ever seen this guy? He's a hoss. Down in Manio, Sport Sawyer, the former coach of Washington High School, has come over to be the head coach. Has a young squad this year. Is going to be implementing a new offense. I had actually talked to a friend of mine earlier that is over at a scrimmage tonight and said that they're looking pretty good compared to all the rest of the teams down there. So a lot of excitement going on in Manio, trying to revive a program that's been kind of dead here the past 4 or 5 years. Camden and Perquimans are both going through new coach changes as well. Just not a lot of talent in both areas. Perquimans, I do like the way Perquimans has been coming around here lately. You know, I've seen a few of their games in the past. They just seem like they hadn't had no life at all. From everything I've been seeing so far, they look rejuvenated. They look positive. That's good to see in this area. I think this conference is getting on the up and up.
I totally agree with you, and I'm glad you said ended up with Perquimans, who I picked to be last, and that's not bad because someone has to finish last in that conference. You got 6 real very decent teams. I mean, 2 great teams and 4 good teams. Perquimans, if they had to play in the Atlantic 6, which only has 5 football teams. You got 5 programs that have football teams, plus Ocracoke, who does not. If Perquimans was in the Atlantic 6, where would they finish in that conference?
Oh, yeah, they would win that conference. I mean, by
I think 2 or 3
games.
Yeah, I think Perquimans might win by 2-3 touchdowns at least on everybody. Going to Atlantic 6 real quick, I think you liked Madame Mesquite to win that conference, if I remember correctly. And I picked Columbia, 6-1, half a dozen the other to me. Any of these teams, Columbia, Madame Mesquite, Crestwood, Cape Hatteras, or Beargrass, do you see them winning a small 1A playoff game this year?
I'd tell you the truth, with the playoffs being reduced like it's been now and everything, Madame Mesquite, if they got the right kind of matchup, maybe, but that would be stretching it. I think Madame Mesquite's going to win this conference just because I think they're better than all the rest of the teams in the conference. I think they'll go undefeated in the conference, to tell you the truth. But I don't think they'll do much better anywhere else. The Beargrass Charter, we got to give out to them. I want to give a shout out to them. Their first year trying to achieve to try to play football, a little private charter school that maybe it's like it's middle school, basically, between Williamson and Carverl, and they play basketball a lot, but they're trying football, and it's going to be a rough go for them, and Cape Hatteras might not be the worst team in football this year. Let's just put it that way.
Very good point on that. Very good point. Let's go to the 1A Carolina Conference. James Keenan is no longer in this conference. Neither is Spring Creek. Both of them have moved to 2A. Union High School, they moved from the 1A, 2A, I think it was the same conference with Wallace Rose Hill last year and Clinton and a couple others. I can't think of what that conference was, like four county something conference. In this conference right here, I got right now I'm going to say Lakewood 1, North Duplin 2, and a surprising Union High School at 3. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that Lakewood team I think is a very dangerous team. I think they could be a sleeper in the 1AA playoffs. I think they could, you know, make a run possibly. They could ruin a Edenton or a Tarboro matchup that everybody's looking forward to towards the end of the season. I think they're a solid team. I like this Union team as well. They are a very experienced bunch. They play very solid football. Lakewood, then Union. Yeah, I like that.
Then I'd probably go with Princeton at 4 and Rosewood at 5 and Hopton at 6. I think Hopton is a team that's kind of gone a little bit tough on their been a little bit tough recently. Just I think it's just a number of getting guys out there and just the numbers. But I think Princeton, it wasn't that long ago, they had – who was that great running back for Princeton?
Johnny Fraser. Johnny football.
He was, golly, a great, great running back. Everybody, this is Jim West and Daniel Burleson. We're with Carolina Varsity, and we're talking about the 1A football scene this year. Daniel, we got two more conferences to go, the 1A Conference, Plains Conference. This right here, I think, is Tarboro at 1, Southside at 2. And then after that, I would probably go with Riverside at 3 and maybe Northside at 4. What's your thoughts about that?
This is Tarboro all the way. I mean, Tarboro, I remember Tarboro whenever the realignment was coming out. You know, Tarboro was wanting so badly to be in a competitive conference, to not be put with, you know, the northern, you know, the Halifax teams and all them, and wanted to be a little bit closer to the, you know, the Williamson area teams. And they got their wish, and by God, it just seems like they're going to run away with this conference. They are stacked and loaded at every position. Coach Craddock says he's got the best team he's ever had in Tarboro. He's had a lot of talent at Tarboro. So when you say that you had the best team you've ever had, when you've had the Todd Gurleys and the Reuben Drones and the people like that there and all, and they just – I think they are the best team in the state, 1A-wise. Southside is
– I'll say the big thing with Tarboro that they're probably happy is there's – Wallace Rose Hill and James Keenan is not in the 1A's this year. What do you think?
Yeah, they'll have to run into them in the playoffs. They always had that hype, you know, that Tarboro moved down to 1A, oh, they're going to dominate the 1A. It's like they were doing to dominate the 2A, and they kept running into those two teams in the playoffs, and it ended their seasons every year.
Yeah, you're so for the last 4 years, it's been the Duplin County Invitational at the 1AA level. To me, this is a really good conference. I mean, South Creek, I think they're going to be better this coming year. Will Harrell is doing a fine job up there. He replaced our buddy Coach Mazzell. He's now over Bertie. I guess he replaced Mazzell before the 2016 season, and it's going to be a fun conference. I think it's going to be a really some really good football for especially a 1A conference. This might be one of the best 1A conferences around.
Like this Jones Senior team that you got. I want to make mention of this Jones Senior team right quick. I think that this team, Jones Senior team, is a really dangerous team in this conference. Just simply for the fact that, you know, they got their coach back, went 5-7 last year. I mean, they got a sneaky win on Southside. I mean, they're an up-and-coming team. Watch out for that, the Trojans of Jones Senior.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to count that as a sleeper pick then, because this conference is so stacked. I had them at last, and actually, you know, looking at it, probably I'd have Pimlico last and probably Jones Senior maybe 5 or 6. This is a good conference. This is such a good conference. Let's look at the last conference we have here, which is the 1A Tarawana Conference. To me, this is not a fun conference. You got 7 teams. I think North Edgecombe is the best, followed by Northampton County, and then Kip Pride. I think Kip Pride's got some pretty good running backs this coming season. Do you agree with me on that one?
Yeah, I like Kip Pride. I actually think they're probably the second best team in that conference, you know, right behind North Edgecombe, you know. I saw them last year against Plymouth in the playoffs. They looked all right. They got some returning skill. They got to play – well, I'll see them again this year. They played Plymouth in the offseason in the non-conference game, so – I think that they've got something to get excited about up there.
Yeah, I think definitely agree with you here. Then we got this is Jim West and Daniel Burleson, and we are with Carolina Varsity, and we're just talking away about the 1A football scene. Hope everybody's enjoying our show so far. We got 8 minutes left. Daniel, while we got everybody on here. Let's go ahead and talk about the big picture. Let's look at the 1AA playoffs. You know, right now, if you had to pick 2 teams that you think had there were the best 1AA teams in the state, who would you pick?
I think they're both in the East. I think they're both Tarboro and Edenton, because I think Murphy will go small this year, and Murphy goes small. It definitely has to be the Tarboro Edenton. You could say North Rowan could sneak in there, face along with West Montgomery, but I mean, clearly with all the horses and stuff that both of these teams have, how can you not have them as the top two?
I agree with you, and to me, that's going to be. I mean, I hope they meet in the East Regional. I hope that they get to the fourth round. Both of them get to play each other. In the West, you know, I definitely like North Rowan, and also, I don't think you can dismiss a team like one of the, you know, maybe Mount Airy. Mount Airy, will they go big 1A, 1AA?
Yeah, I think Mount Airy will be the 1AA.
And I think, you know, Mount Airy and North Rowan, that's going to be a game, and heck, you can't dismiss a team like West Montgomery, you know, so... now, with the small 1A, let's talk about the West real quick. I think Murphy has got to be the favorite in the small 1A if they go small 1A. But also, I think Mitchell will probably go small 1A also. Do you think that's a possible matchup?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that again?
Mitchell and Murphy maybe meeting in the 1A regional.
Oh, yeah, that would be another epic matchup like it was last year. That was a huge game. But you can't dismiss a Mountain Island Charter. They're probably going to be small 1A, too, and they're going to have a lot to say in that picture as well.
That's right. You're exactly right, and I'm glad you mentioned that because that's a team that's on a mission, and I'm going to tell you right now there's going to be a lot of people pulling for them, and there's going to be a lot of people pulling against them, but as long as you're pulling for a team in high school football, I'm fine with that. I'd rather you pull for a team than against a team. But now going into the East, you know, Plymouth, they've gone to 5 straight 1A state championships. I don't know if they're going to be going to a 6 straight one. I mean, they got some you got teams like Southside. You got teams like North Deeplin. I mean, there's several teams to me that North Edgecombe that you know they will probably be around there. And just saw that Daniel has the line dropped him off. I'm going to talk and hopefully he'll call back in before too long. Unfortunately, with modern technology, these things happen. But you know, I think right now Plymouth and Southside might be the best of the small 1A schools in the East. I think it could go either way. I mean, those guys over at Chocowinity, they definitely have it going on, that's for sure. So I'm just checking to see Daniel still hasn't called back in. That's all right. This modern technology, every so often we lose a signal. But it's going to be interesting this year, and I'll go ahead and tell you my top five picks in a 1A, 1AA, all the 1A classifications. I actually had Holmes at 1, I had Tarboro at 2, and Murphy at 3, North Rowan at 4, and Mountain Island Charter at 5. And it's going to be a fun year on that. We'll see what happens. Got teams like Mount Airy that I believe I had them at 6. They're going to have something to say with. I think I had Mitchell at 8. So I can't remember who I had at 7 right off the top of my head, but maybe East Surrey at 7. I think 8 was Mitchell. 9, I think it was maybe West Montgomery. 10, I was thinking for some reason might have been East Carteret. Got a lot of good teams out there. It's a little bit deeper this year than it has been in the past. Anyway, I think we've got a pretty good idea about 1A this coming year. It's going to be fun. There's only going to be 75 teams in 1A this year. Last year was 79. Because of the new realignment, it's gone from a 25, 25, 25, 25 realignment to a 20, 30, 30, 20 realignment. And this is before you have the non-football team. So doing the math and everything, it dropped 1A schools, football schools, from 79 to 75. But it's going to be an interesting year come especially in December. The other thing I was going to mention with 1A, instead of having 32 teams make the 1A playoffs and 32 teams making the 1AA playoffs, you're only going to have 24 in the 1A and 24 in the 1AA. Daniel, I think I got you back. Got to love modern technology. What do you got to say about that? And I think I had him, and now he's gone again. Okay. Got to laugh about this stuff. Anyway, the other thing I was going to mention, though, with this year, you got also, instead of having 3 locations for the state championship games, we're going to have 4. Duke University is actually going to be playing host for one of the classifications. I don't know exactly if it's going to be 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, but you got Duke, you got NC State, you got Carolina and Wake Forest. So you got 4 college stadiums that are going to be occupied. And we'll see what happens with that. Another thing a lot of people complain about is you have a big football game, 1A state championship, and you might have 2,000 people at Keenan Stadium, and you only have 60,000 seats. So, it you know, from a high, you know, level overview, looks like just not that many people are interested in it. And, you know, maybe we should go to a more cozy atmosphere, you know, maybe somewhere like someplace in Greensboro or Elon or something, you know, that's a little bit closer. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this show. I'm sorry we lost Daniel in the last part, but modern technology, you know, stuff happens. But for Jim West, for Daniel Burleson, and for Carolina Varsity, thank you so much for listening to us. And we all hope you have a good evening, and hopefully you get to see some scrimmages or some jamborees. And please consider going to the Carolina Varsity Jamboree that's going to be over at Olympic High School. Starts at 6 o'clock on Friday night. We do look forward to seeing you. Again, hope all is well, and take care. Thank you so much.